Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is The Guardian.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is The Final Word, Ashes Daily. I'm Emma John, and here in the UK, I'm already feeling the benefits of this day-night test, which allows us English followers to sleep all the way till 4 a.m. Over in Australia, my colleagues Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon are enjoying other natural phenomena, like vitamin D, and we'll be joining them for their sun-soaked analysis very shortly. First, a suggestion for England fans. If you're going to watch the highlights of today's play, might we suggest a suitable soundtrack? Fire up your streaming service, pop on Leonard Cohen's Anthem, and allow it to absorb your pain. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. After all, as Leonard says, you can add up the parts, but you won't have the sum. That's certainly true of this England team. They've spent most of this test letting in just enough light through the cracks of their performance to remind us that this could indeed have been a decent Ashes contest, if everything hadn't gone quite so wrong. For much of the afternoon, Joe Root and David Milan made Australia look far less fearsome than they have appeared to date. Root took on the seamers, then slog swept Nathan Lyon and drove him back over his head. He and Milan put on a century partnership at four and over. This put a dent in Australia's total of 473 for sure, but nothing a panel beater couldn't knock out. After the interval, Cameron Green rolled his sleeves up and tempted the England captain's edge just as he had in Brisbane. Steve Smith took the catch at slip, and the next one too, when Milan tried to cut Mitchell Starc for consecutive boundaries. 150 for two was now 157 for four, and Nathan Lyon was conjuring increasing bounce and turn. Ollie Pope managed to get out twice in three balls, both times caught at short leg by Marnus Labuschagne. The first was overturned on review because the ball had come off his forearm, so Lyon and Labuschagne just repeated the trick two balls later. Joss Butler made a 15-ball duck, and England was six wickets down and still more than 300 runs behind. Is there anything more heartbreaking than watching an injured Ben Stokes wreck himself for a lost cause? Having begun by gritting it out runlessly, he broke the emergency glass and reached for his fire axe in an attempt to scare up follow-on saving runs with the tail. But it was a miracle too far. Australia finished England off for 236 and decided to bat again anyway. By the close of play, their lead stood at 282. They're looking at a very Merry Christmas indeed. For more of that holiday cheer, let's head over to Adam and Jeff in Adelaide.
Thanks from Adelaide Oval to Emma John.
I've got to say, first session of day three, Jeff, England were doing things that made me ponder what might be possible in a few hours from now. Mm-hmm. Well, look, if they take their partnership, which at that stage was well over 100, and they can, I think it was 128 at lunch, if that's 228 by tee, then we have a very different test match. Instead, they lose 4 for 57 in the middle session. They lose their next four wickets, their last four wickets for 34. All told, the collapse, I think, was 8 for 78, maybe 8 for 76, something like that. All out 236. Instead, the only question we really had was, will Stephen Smith enforce a follow-on? It's deja vu from 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now we're into what will essentially be junk time runs. Australia runs up the clock, takes time out of the game tomorrow before the inevitable declaration, and so it goes. And it's a shame, because I feel like England weren't far away from writing a different script, but Australia, they've been served well by regrouping through this series already. Intervals have treated Australia well and England poorly.
I'm aware that we have have an audience for this show that is both Australian and English, and, and we try to serve them both. We've tried to be upbeat about England at times, but maybe people who follow England need to hear this today because they'll be feeling the same. They were bloody hopeless again, the same as they were in Brisbane. I didn't have any optimism because when Root and Milan were batting, I thought, great, they're going well. Once this partnership finishes, there is every chance they fall over exactly as they did at Brisbane, and that is exactly how it played out. There seem to be two players in the team who can bat. Let me give you some numbers on this. 30 English wickets have fallen in the series, right? Mm-hmm. So 30 partnerships have taken place for England. Partnerships involving Joe Root and David Milan, two partnerships. They've made 300 runs at the cost of two wickets. Everybody else, 380 runs for 28 wickets. That is the dire situation. That is how desperately poor the batting has been. Joss Butler, terrible again. Ben Stokes tried to hang around for a while but sort of couldn't do much and eventually got out having a slog. I mean, Chris Wokes at number eight is the batting success of the test match so far. What, he's got three for 182 so far in the series, but at least he's making 24 at number eight. They're a rabble at the moment, and I don't see how they're going to get better.
I think we can zero it down to two dismissals. One is Ollie Pope. Out again to Nathan Lyon. Never looks like he had a way against Nathan Lyon. I appreciate why he was using his feet, but, I mean, last ball of the over, they bring in the leg slip. He's boxed in, and he's thinking, this is the time I'm going to dance down. Having been reprieved by the third umpire, no more than three deliveries before it, albeit a ball that hit his elbow. But still, it was a false strike there, caught at short leg. Labuschagne, fantastically reflex catch to make it count the second time. So Pope, massive question mark whether he has the game that can last against Nathan Lyon. Mm-hmm. And you can guarantee every time Ollie Pope walks out for the rest of the series, Nathan Lyon is bowling the next over in much the same way. But whenever Darryl Cullinan walked out, Shane Warne bowled the next over. And then Joss Butler.
But can I also ask, how can you be an English right-hander who can't play off-spin? Isn't that the most fundamental, basic thing of batting that you need to be able to do?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure it's about the off-spin. I think it's about the overspin. But I take your point. He plays at a test venue at the Oval. He averages 99.94, would you believe, at the Oval at first-class level. Mm-hmm. We know he's a sprightly type and can make runs productively for England. It's just something right now, this exact juncture, there's a technical flaw. Mm-hmm. He looks scattered at best, and they have to work that out immediately or leave him out for the next test match.
Yep.
As for Joss Butler, I suppose when it rains, it pours. He dropped that crucial catch on night one.
The other one.
And the other one, yeah, that's right. And then 17 balls where the plan, Mike Atherton was on our broadcast, and like he set it up perfectly in the summariser chair. He's like, well, what they're trying to do here is bowl across him, short cover, two slips of gully, and play the patience game, play the waiting game, wait till he tries to flay one out through the covers. Lo and behold, Suck gets one right in that channel, which he was aiming for. Mm-hmm. Butler does precisely what Australia were waiting for, and then the catch goes straight into the cordon, and so it goes. And how debilitating must that be for England, seeing such an overt plan and for such a senior player to walk straight into it when Stark was probably bowling the sixth over of a seven-over spell? Had he seen him out, it could have been a different story, but That's that repeated red ball experience, which in recent years Butler, with the exception of when he plays for England, doesn't have.
And so it all comes back to riding on that first partnership. Root out for 62, David Milan 89.
80 even.
After Root made 89 in the first match. So it's a bit unfair to focus on them given that the others didn't help, but those two also got out, didn't make hundreds in Brisbane, didn't make hundreds here, didn't go really big when they could have done. Root got out to Cameron Green again, who bowled a really good spell to him after the second break. Three overs. He was quick. He was getting serious lift, and he was just on off stump again and again and again. And Root glided one boundary through the slip cordon for four along the ground, and then he tried to do it again. Green got a little bit of movement away. That takes the edge to second slip. And then David Milan plays that back cut to Mitchell Starc, tries to repeat it again the next ball. Bang, into the cordon. So they both got themselves out in a way by not being able to, I guess, be patient enough with the bowling.
Yeah, and that intersects with another story. It's Australia's catching. Two sharp takes from Smith, the acting captain, in the cordon, one of three that he snaffled today. Australia have now dropped one catch.
One.
Mitchell Starc in the gully, diving away
off
to
Green.
His left.
So Green's normally in the gully, but Starc went in with the wingspan and he knocked it up, and Smith also knocked it up and couldn't quite hang on the rebound.
Yeah, it wasn't quite Militavere in terms of what was on the line at the time, but you kind of get the idea of what sort of catch or drop it was. Until that point, Australia had taken 23 catches, hadn't put down one. and you can pick your own number and choose your own adventure a little bit on how many catches England have dropped, but conservatively roughly eight, and that's been a big difference. And Jeff, you detailed that yesterday about the fundamentals and the basics that England are struggling so with at the moment. But Green, just to re-loop back on your point there, a guy who can swing it away from the right-hander at 145 clicks, 5 wickets in this series at 10.4, which includes bouncing out Pope, nicking off Root twice and getting out Ben Stokes when he was just about to start smacking some bombs. I mean, it wouldn't have been that influential. They wouldn't have passed the follow-on mark anyway. But, you know, we've seen what Ben Stokes can do to this Australian attack when he gets on top before. He brought that to a halt as soon as he came back into the attack. So Green may not be making runs, but, geez, making a contribution.
Yep. Well, all he needs to do is get Joe Root out. If that's the only thing you're doing, that's enough, because that brings on a collapse. I mean, that's the most important wicket anyway. They would have taken that even if other players were making runs. If you could say, I'll get Joe Root out every innings, well, that's all you need to do in the test match.
Yeah, that's right. And just reinforcing your point before as well, that I thought before dinner, Milan and Root kind of did everything right. They didn't give a chance before the long break. They batted the way you should bat when there's not a cloud in the sky and a flat pitch. They made Australia work extremely hard. They added 123 runs in the session. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's a lovely set of numbers for a team with a lot of pressure when they arrived this morning. I made this point on the commentary. It feels like David Milan doesn't have the same sort of pressure, doesn't deliver the same sort of pressure to Joe Root that Root has when he's batting with the rest of his team. That feels like it feels like an ongoing challenge for players in the England lineup who aren't Joe Root, with the exception of Milan, who's 34 years of age. He's kind of his own man, you know. He's been around the world a couple of times or maybe more. He's seen the sights and had delights on many foreign shores. A T20 player primarily, but that's why he's in this team, because he's a solid head on what is now a pretty experienced.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Spotty.
So what is the plan, as it seems, from here will be they're already 280 ahead. They'll just bat two sessions tomorrow in order to rub it in, make England's bowlers do more work, quick turnaround for Boxing Day, quick turnaround for Sydney, quick turnaround for Hobart, just try to wear them out as much as possible, declare in the evening, put them in, have two evening sessions at them over the next 2 days if necessary, and have four sessions to bowl them out. And the only thing England will be able to do at that point is try to bat four sessions and save the test.
Okay, the Hall of Fame, where we pick the most final word moment of the day. Jeff, I'm going to handball this to you today.
I think for me, maybe it's this incredibly loud trolley that's rattling behind us at the moment, but it was getting out of the press box and having a walk around in the evening as Mitchell Starc was bowling. I was got to go and stand behind the bowler's arm, watch the skies soften and turn pastel, watch the idiots being idiots, watch the English yell at the Australians and the Australians yell at the English. Everyone was having a lovely time down there, and it felt so bucolic and so far away from all these stories from the rest of the world where everything is terrible. But for a moment here in Adelaide, everything was good.
I probably should throw the comedy run out in at the end as well. I'm not quite sure whose fault it was, Warner or Harris. I think Punter said it was Warner, so we'll go with that. It's best not to disagree with Ricky Ponting, we've learnt across the journey. But that'll be my nomination for the day, and that might be where
Also Warner not turning back, because had he just turned back and put his bat in, he would have scorched Harris, and maybe that's the end of Harris's test career. I wonder if Warner thought, I can afford to get a cheap run out here, and he can't.
I like to believe that. That's how I want to evaluate that run out. You know what? That's probably where we should draw a line under the final word today. Day three at Adelaide. Gorgeous day, gorgeous ground. A day when Australia truly pressed home their advantage. If you like what we do, follow it all in the show notes. Adam Collins, Jeff Lemon. We'll be back tomorrow night. I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself.
That's it for today. Thanks from Adam, Jeff and me for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave us a rating and help more people to find us. This episode was produced by Sophia Tarek. The Final Word is produced by Bad Producer Productions and edited by James Hurley. Executive producers are Gabrielle Jackson and Melanie Tate.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.